Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Clones, welcome back to the Daily Jungle. We had a huge day to start the week, and I'm not just talking about the solar eclipse that had everybody geeking out. Big news day in the jungle as well. We're launching an original content podcast next week, the Jim Rome Podcast. We're going places and talking about things that you simply cannot do on the radio program. It is a different beast. I am pumped to roll it out. Make sure you look for it. We had a couple of great guests as well today, Jeffrey Chidiha and Jason Lockenfora. Plenty to get done, so let's get right to it. Alvy, do what you do. You're having an awesome eclipse day. I mentioned that at the top of the show. It has been 99 years since a solar eclipse traveled across the entire country. So as much as you want to spend the entire day clowning people who are geeked to see this astrological phenomenon, it is one of those days. And it's the type of day where some loser with nothing better to do estimates the staggering amount of money that is going to be lost because people are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And apparently, this time, it's $700 million in productivity. That, according to a company, Challenger Grain Christmas. $700 million. So you might think it's a big waste of time, or you might be annoyed by your coworker or coworkers who are running around the office with their funny glasses on. Fact of the matter is, there's a ton of dough being lost over this. 700 mil. But for as excited as some people are for this celestial event, and it's absolutely insane that most of America plans on stopping what they're doing to watch something that could literally burn their eyes out. Literally. There is one group of heroes who are doing their damnedest to prove that they couldn't care less. I touched on it on the top when I mentioned Nick Saban, but he's far from the only football coach. Because you ask a football coach about the solar eclipse, and they'll spend a hell of a lot of oxygen explaining to you why they don't care and what they don't know. I mean, where to start? How about Ravens head coach, John Harbaugh? Do not ask him about the eclipse. He's got Ryan Mallett behind the center, trying to harpoon opponents with errant passes. Like Harbaugh has any time whatsoever for any of your eclipse talk.
A couple teams, like for Monday with the eclipse, they're doing some team things. Tennessee is doing a viewing. Anything with the Ravens to have you talked about?
When is it? It's Monday? Can you see it from everywhere? Can you see it from here?
I think you can. I think it's going to be like 80%.
80%? It's not 100% here?
No, I don't know. Something. Only if it's 100%.
I mean, 80%, that's not perfect. That's not, we're chasing perfection here, all right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's got to go to North Carolina for 100%.
St. Louis.
You know. Nah.
Not bad, John. Not bad. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'd give you about a 2. Pretty much like the Ravens themselves. Then you got Rams head coach Sean McVay. He is the youngest head coach in the NFL. Literally everybody who talks to this guy leaves the conversation saying the same thing. Like, this guy's energy is off the charts. This dude is smart. I mean, really smart. Like, this dude is the smartest guy in the room. Of course, they probably did not ask him about a solar eclipse.
You know, it's funny because I don't really know anything about anything other than football, Alden. But somebody was telling me about that. Actually, Shane was telling me because he's from the area that it's going to take place. Yeah, no, I don't. But I can tell you about a defense. No, I'm just kidding. So I think I might have to take a look and see what's going on with that. But I just recently heard about that last night on the plane, which is embarrassing but true.
Yeah, I got to respect that. I think I just said a point blank. And believe me, this guy's got crazy it. I think he's going to be a great head coach. A great head coach. I think he's going to be a great leader, great tactician. I'm a big fan of Sean McVay. And I'm especially a big fan of a guy who says, you know what? I really don't know anything about anything except football. That's a dude who understands that the Rams are not selling tickets because he got a B+ in astronomy back in high school. But as much as McVay and Harbaugh check the football guy box, Will Muschamp went next level with it. Because sometimes saying nothing is more impactful. And if a picture is worth 1,000 words, then 6 seconds of Will Muschamp's silence on solar eclipses is worth about a million.
When you sat down to plan out the preseason schedule, how much, if at all, did the eclipse factor into that week?
We're practicing. I mean, are you kidding? No. What day is the eclipse going to happen?
Day you're open practice.
Okay. Do we ought to shut our eyes when it happens or something? I have no idea. I'm not very good with that kind of stuff.
I'll tell you what, I want that guy's room. Like, he breaks them all up with stuff like that. Are you supposed to close your eyes with that kind of stuff? Oh, good one. I want that to be my room. I've got a much tougher room, a room of you clones, a room of 8 million clones. Wouldn't it be great to walk in a room and that no matter what you said when you opened up your mouth, everybody thought that was like the funniest thing they ever heard in their lives? That's what that room sounds like. See, now that's a guy that I believe when he says, I'm not very good with that kind of stuff. That's a guy whose stare might be even more dangerous than the sun rays those little 3D movie glasses are supposed to protect you from. But of course, we already covered the OG, the godfather of disdain, Nicky Saban. And after getting things warmed up last week with a mid-season form rant, he was locked and he was loaded and he was ready for that eclipse question even before it was posed.
Coach, just a little off the subject, but on Monday we've got the solar eclipse. Are there any special precautions you have to take with the team considering the eye damage possibilities are that you have thought about?
You know, we'll set it up so if the players want to go out there and get some sunglasses and look at it, I guess they can. That's not something that I'm really that focused on right now. You know, I watch the Weather Channel every day. They're already saying what it's going to look like in every city in America. So what's going to be significant? Just watch the Weather Channel. You see what it's going to be like in Portland, Oregon. You know, it's Clayton, Georgia is the number one place in the country to have 100%. You know, there are all kind of people there. My house will probably be the only empty house on the whole lake.
Life and death. Life and death. Don't you ever think about anything other than football. You know, the eclipse might only come once every century, but Alabama, all right, follow this line of thinking. It may come only once every century. However, Alabama has not opened up against Florida State in their 114 years of playing football. And a decade ago, the last time these two teams played, the Seminoles won. So don't you be asking Nick about the eclipse. Especially when you know damn well that he's watching the Weather Channel every single morning while he's slamming that little Debbie, and he already knows the path it's traveling like some amateur stargazer who spends the night with his telescope. As usual, old Nick wins. The grumpy, red-assed control freak knows everything he needs to know about the solar eclipse. But unless it's going to burn into his memory the Seminoles' opening play calls, he sure as hell will not have time for it. The only thing better would be if he went full Hoodman on it. Because how badly does Bill Belichick hate the solar eclipse? He scheduled a press conference for the exact time that it's supposed to be happening. Jeffrey Chidiha. All right, you mentioned Kansas City. The Chiefs training camp was yet another stop on your tour. How do they look to you right now?
Well, they're interesting because I think for years, the last few years under Andy Reid, they've been very successful. 3 playoff appearances in the last 4 years, but a lot of drama this offseason with Tom Bahaly tweeting about guys not showing up for offseason workouts and the firing of John Dorsey, releasing of Jeremy Maclin. But I really think that in the preseason so far, you've seen a lot of focus from Alex Smith, a lot of really good quarterback play, and he may be getting pushed by the fact that they drafted a first-round quarterback and Patrick Mahomes, who's played pretty well. But I do think that if they're able to get, again, stopping the run on defense, that was the big Achilles heel for them last year. If they're able to turn Tyreek Hill, who was the most exciting player in football last year, into a full-time receiver instead of a receiver, runner, return man threat, they should be back in the playoffs.
All right, one more team before you go. The Dolphins are coming off a season where they won 8 games by 7 points or less. So when you look at last year's team, Jeff, how much of that is just, frankly, luck? And then how much of that is a sign of mental toughness?
Well, I think a lot of it was mental toughness because they had not had a winning culture down there in a long time. And Adam Gase came in there in year one and got guys to buy into it. Now, it's a little different story when you're talking about Ryan Tannehill being out for the season and bringing in Jay Cutler after a week and hoping he can actually be your quarterback for the year. I think whatever they did last year, as impressive as it was, if they're able to win 10 games with that kind of scenario going on, I mean, Adam Gase should be the coach of the year. A lot to like about them with Jay Ajayi running the football and that defense, especially the front seven. But, you know, the quarterback, as we know, is a big part of whatever happens to a team. And if Jay Cutler can't get it done, then they're probably not going to be as good as they were last year.
All right, so how do you think that's going to work out with Cutler? And so far, from what you can sense, how are guys responding to him there?
Well, I think it's really early. I think the first results, as far as the first preseason game after a week being in, I think that's pretty impressive for him to come in and look the way he did after a week of practice. I think he showed some savvy and made a couple throws down the field. He's got some chemistry with Devontae Parker. But, again, I think it's going to be a work in progress there. The upside is he knows the offense. He knows Gase. Gase trusts him. The downside is he's Jay Cutler. So we'll see what happens.
Jeff, one last thought. Do you think that we're going to see Colin Kaepernick this year play in the NFL?
You know, I don't. And I started coming around to that back in May after Blaine Gabbert signed with Arizona. And I think Brian Fitzpatrick was picked up. And you saw these quarterbacks that were getting jobs who he had played better than, who he had a better resume than. And, you know, I think there's a lot of things that go into this. I don't think it's collusion by the owners. I think there's a certain tier of owners that are not going to take him, but there's also owners who would probably take him because they feel confident in their head coaches. I think if Alex Smith wasn't a quarterback here, Colin Kaepernick might be a backup option because he took Michael Vick. But the biggest thing nobody talks about is that for Kaepernick to get a job, he has to have people believe in him and trust him and support him. And right now, the last three coaches who coached him are not in the NFL, Jim Harbaugh, Chip Kelly, and the other guy who was out in San Francisco between those two, whose name I forget now.
Tom Sula.
And Tom Sula. And the GM who drafted him is Trent Baalke, is out of a job. So really all he has is Greg Roman, who's the offensive coordinator in Baltimore, and that's not enough clout to get you onto a roster somewhere. So that's how I see it.
You think that lack of trust is based in how he plays at this point or how he's conducting himself off the field?
I think it's all about his conduct. You know, people can say what they want to about his numbers. They can say what they want to about how he fits into an offense. There's plenty of coaches out there who feel like they can make any quarterback work if they think he has talent and ability. And he's done enough in this league and played in enough big games to warrant that. Talking to Michael Vick about him back in the summer, he made a good point that he's probably going to have to go someplace, as Vic did, where he's the third quarterback, where he's not getting paid a lot of money, and things can die down, and he can, you know, find his way back up an NFL depth chart. That's the only way it's going to happen. And I'll be honest, I'd rather see the guy talking, because I think one thing that he's never really done a good job of is articulating his message, what he wants, what he believes. And if he could get in front of a camera and say some things, that might help sway some people about his future in the NFL.
And Jeff, one last thing as a follow. Why do you think that he has not done that?
Well, I think he is a man of his actions. I think he believes that what he's doing, going all the way back to kneeling and sitting down, is more demonstrative than words. I think that he is probably so caught up in believing what he's doing is important, and I believe what he's doing is important, that he's not trying to curry favor. He's not trying to sell people on who he is. He's probably thinking that, you know, he's got a resume out there that people can look at and they can decide if he fits what they want. But again, it's like, and I did a big documentary on him for NFL Network, and the thing that really jumped out for me about doing that was every player we talked to, from Malcolm Jenkins to Brandon Marshall, the linebacker with the Broncos, to Kenny Stills and some guys with the Dolphins, like, they were way more impressive in saying what they were thinking and what they were trying to accomplish. And I think Cap, to his detriment, you know, he ticked off people about the anthem, he ticked off people who care about the military, ticked off policemen, and he's never been able to recover from that. And I think, look at what Michael Bennett did when he sat down. First thing he said was, look, I'm not anti-American, I'm not anti-this, anti-that, I'm about love. And I think that alone, like, buys you a lot of political capital when you do something like this.
So, again, the Pacers have filed tampering charges with the NBA against the Lakers, and a probe is underway. A source told ESPN, though, the Lakers are denying the allegations, saying that there is no evidence of tampering and that they expect to be cleared. Now, keep in mind, this is a pretty serious charge. If you can prove it, and it comes with some pretty serious consequences. In fact, if the Lakers did it, it could cost them draft picks and or money. And if they were blatant enough about how they did it, if they did it, the league could prevent them from signing or trading for Paul George. But the problem for Indiana and any other team that alleges it, and others have, and others still will, is that tampering is nearly impossible to prove, as I mentioned. The only way to prove it is if somebody cops to doing it. Oh, yeah, that? Yeah, I did that. Yeah, I talked to him when I wasn't supposed to. Yeah, we had a side deal. We got our side hustle on there. Either you need somebody dumb enough to say something like that, or somebody dumb enough to put it in an email or on a piece of paper. And safe to assume nobody in the Lakers organization would ever be dumb enough to do something like that. Even if they were doing something that they shouldn't have been doing, who's going to document it? And no, Magic Johnson going on Jimmy Kimmel to crack jokes about it does not constitute tampering. Maybe not one of Irv's best ideas, but still not tampering. So again, teams are frequently accused of it, but rarely does anything ever come of it. So why are the Pacers doing this? What's the point? Are they doing it because they really think that the Lakers did tamper with their player? Or are they just butthurt because they didn't want or he didn't want to be there long term? Listen, can you blame Paul George for not wanting to be there? The Lakers aren't the ones who took dynamite to the core of a Pacers team that went to the conference finals 2 years in a row. The Pacers did that. The Lakers didn't fire Frank Vogel. The Pacers did that. The Lakers didn't make Larry Bird quit after the season. The Pacers did that too. So stop blaming somebody else for your inability to keep your star player. And stop crying about how bad his timing was when he told you an entire year in advance what he was going to do. You know, as opposed to, say, LeBron, who's going to string it out and drop a bomb on Cleveland just like he did the first time he left. Go ask Pat Riley how it felt when LeBron did the exact same thing to him, too. Again, at least George told the Pacers of his plans. Fact is, Indy, not only does this come off looking and sounding like sour grapes, it's becoming a trend. One of your teams gets embarrassed on the big stage, so you drop a dime on that team that hammered you. Like the Pats, they bludgeoned the Colts in the AFC title game, and then you blame it on the cheating Patriots. The Pacers crumble in the playoffs. Paul George doesn't want to be there long term. You blame that on the cheating, tampering Lakers. So this is not a one-off. It's becoming a trend. You know the trend. Can't beat them. Rat on them. R-A-T-T. Rat, rat, rat. Paul George is gone. You failed to build a good enough team around him, so he told you he was going to bounce, and you traded him before it happened. He gave you 7 good years. He came all the way back from one of the most catastrophic injuries ever. So I'm really not sure where you're going with this. Maybe if the NBA dings the Lakers a draft pick or some dough, that might make you feel better. But that's probably not going to happen. And even if it does happen, it's not going to bring George back. So it's not about what you think the Lakers did. It's about what you didn't do to keep George. The Lakers aren't the reason he's no longer there. You are. And to suggest otherwise just comes off as sour grapes and just overall butt-hurtedness. Have fun with that. That's an almost impossible thing to prove. Almost impossible. Jason Lockenfora, having a very busy day, but finds time to join us. JLC, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing well. I don't know if that second statement is correct. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's not, but I am serious about getting together an MISL podcast. I've been texting some of my boys now that I'm off the road, and we will make that happen. You got to help me track down the Lord of All Indoors, though. He's like right, supposedly, in your neck of the woods there, somewhere near San Diego.
Jungle. If you can't find him,
he's been recluse for a decade, I'm told. No interviews. I got to get him.
If you can't find him, JLC, you know I can't find him, and I stand by what I said. You are America's foremost expert on major indoor soccer. All right, so let me ask you. I know that you're at the Eagles-Dolphins joint practice today. Let me start with Miami. What have you seen from them so far at the quarterback position, and how has your day gone?
You know, look, I think Jay Cutler, mentally, you know that. He knows the system. He knows what Adam Gase espouses. He knows how to deliver the ball. I just wonder physically
And I talked to some guys about this, about ramping him back up. Now, Jarvis Landry, Julius Thomas, they say, dude, his fastball is still his fastball. I wonder how that holds up over the long haul, considering this was not a normal spring for him, you know, where normally you're throwing through OTAs, you're throwing with guys on the side. I mean, he was throwing his kids up and down on the beach, I suppose, but that was really it. You know, footwork, just being comfortable in the pocket, it's still a little rusty, but he's got a big arm that will bail them out of some things. The question is, you know, can Adam Gase once again coax those interceptions out of him the way he did the year they were together in Chicago? And he kind of turned him into a little bit more of a game manager, but that's what was in order. So, you know, look, the Dolphins still have some things they need to sort out on their offensive line. I'm not sure their defense is markedly better than a year ago. And a year ago, they certainly had some trouble, especially up front. And to me, I just worry about regression with a team like that that won a lot of close games last year, you know, took advantage of a weak schedule, playing some divisions that were down, like the AFC North, maybe catching some teams at the right time. I wonder if that evens out for them a little bit this year.
Jason Lockenfora, NFL insider for CBS Sports. All right, how much did you see of Carson Wentz, and what kind of expectations do you have for him this season?
Yeah, I have some pretty good expectations. It's a little tricky at these practices because you got one team's offense going, the other's defense, the other's offense going, the other's defense. So today I'm writing Jay Cutler. So I was trying to watch the Dolphins one as much as possible, but sometimes when Cutler wasn't out there and you turn to the other field and you watch a beautiful 40-yard fade from Wentz to Torrey Smith, you watch him find Alshon Jeffrey in traffic a couple times, some passes over the middle. There's a lot of talent there to work with, and the kid mentally, he has a burning desire to be good, and he's all football, and he can handle the hype that comes with Philadelphia in particular, where they're desperate to find that next quarterback, and have been for quite some time, you know, since the decline of Donovan McNabb. So I think he's in a good spot. I do think the hype train, though, has probably left the station a little bit there. And, you know, there's some people in the Philly area who just feel like this team is just going to take off and soar, and they might win the division and this or that. And there's still going to be a learning curve for Carson Wentz. He did not play a ton of college football. That was just his reality. He didn't have as many starts as a lot of other guys. But certainly an upward trajectory. I like some of the rental receivers they put around him, guys like the Torrey Smith and Alshon Jeffrey, who are kind of playing for their next payday a little bit. They're certainly super motivated. How good are they going to run the ball? I don't know. I think they'll be fine on defense by and large and have a better pass rush. I think they're, you know, a 500-ish team, maybe slightly better.
JLC joining us. Jason, you just mentioned Sammy Watkins. So in terms of that, let me ask you about Anquan Boldin. He announced his retirement yesterday. So when you look back on his career, what kind of thoughts do you have?
Well, I mean, he should be in that Hall of Fame conversation. I don't want to – I'm not a part of that boondoggle. I don't vote. I dropped out of the PFWA a long time ago, in large part because I'm not comfortable with that process. So I can't vouch for who gets in and who doesn't, and why some guys get log jammed and others don't, and why some guys like a T.O., you know, still aren't in there. I can't speak to that. So I can't go too far down that road. But from a statistical standpoint, from a big game, big stage standpoint, from a guy who brought the best out of others and kind of turned a dependent position into an independent position in that so many people learn from him. I mean, just talking to Torrey Smith today about Anquan Boldin and the impact he had on him when Torrey was a young pup in Baltimore. I mean, guys, like, they just want to be around him, period, whether, you know, he's playing football or he's at a community center or he's walking the earth like Kung Fu. Like, he has something about him that others want to be a part of and want to learn from. And I think that's part of a Hall of Fame profile as well. Now, you could say he played in a pass-happy era and, you know, whatever. I'm sure there's counter arguments, but I certainly think he should get and merit serious consideration for the Hall of Fame.
All right, so here is my news for you. A major announcement in my mind. I'm pumped, and I'm proud to announce a brand new original content podcast is dropping next week on August 29th. Once again, a brand new original content podcast dropping next week, August 29th. Now, this is not the radio show condensed and repurposed. This is a fresh content, or this is fresh content, on top of everything that you're already getting in the jungle. In other words, an entirely new program on top of the 3 hours that you get every single day in the jungle. A new show where I can turn off the clock and give some breathing room that's necessary to my conversations with the biggest names in sports and entertainment. We can go places and talk about things that we simply cannot get to on this radio program or go to. It's a different beast. You're not going to want to miss this. So what you need to do in preparation is get to iTunes and Google Play and subscribe. And after you hear the first episode, do me a solid, leave a review. It's that easy. You find it, you subscribe to it, you review it, you enjoy it. Now, I've wanted to do something like this for a long time. And I'll tell you what got me thinking about this initially was the Showtime show that I used to do. Because on that program, we could literally do and say whatever we wanted to do or say. It was a totally different animal. And I'm going to approach this the same way. I've wanted to do something like this for a long time. Long-form conversations and, of course, some takes and some blasts and some content that you have not heard before. The Daily Jungle is going to remain. We're going to still do that for quite some time. But the point of that is, and I like that product a lot, and it serves a purpose, it's a way for you to get caught up and dialed in, or maybe if you can't find the jungle, you can find the very best of the jungle in a daily recap. But that's not what this is. Again, this is premium content, brand new jungle content, exclusive content, content that you cannot get on this show. And it's going to be delivered to you for free every week to start. So once again, make sure you're locked in on iTunes and Google Play. The Jim Rome Podcast. It's easy to remember. Jim Rome Podcast. It's going to be here next week. Get ready. It's going to drop next week. August 29th is the day. Brand new podcast. And as we get closer, I will announce who the first guest is going to be. And it's going to evolve. And frankly, I think you might hear me talk about things on that podcast that I normally do not talk about on this show. I know it'll be content that you haven't heard on this show. So that's my announcement. I'm pumped up about that. Excited about that. The Jim Rome Podcast, the brand new podcast, starting August 29th. Exclusive content, new content, long form interviews, and more. See what's going on. We go to Maine. Christian in Maine. Nice to have you, Christian. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Rami?
What's going on? How are you?
Glad to hear you're off vacation. I'm glad you didn't go on vacation this week, old boy. Hey, I've got a serious question. Hello?
Go ahead, Christian.
Hey, I want to know, do you know the difference between Danica from Jacksonville and Jerry Jones?
No, Christian, I have no idea. Why don't you dial us all in? What is the difference between Danica in Jacksonville and Jerry Jones?
Well, one gets paid to ruin tenderonis, Romy, and the other likes cocaine and owns an NFL team. I'll hang up and listen.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Instead of hanging up and listening, why don't you just hang up and just go away? Clones, thanks so much for listening and for supporting the Daily Jungle. That's not going away yet. Continue to hammer away at that. But do remember, check out our new podcast, the Jim Rome Podcast. It drops next week, August 29th. Now do what you do. Hit subscribe, tell a friend, and as always, trust the podcast.